talking of hell is very unpopular today. Many churches have stopped talking of hell because many theologians and Christian leaders no longer believe in a real hell that is everlasting. There are those who teach that hell is all right. It's not so hot after all. And some say, well, there are very few people in hell. So one of my patients told me, "Doctor, you like to tell people about heaven and hell, but I choose to go to hell." I said, "Why?" She said to me, my patients are all women, you know that. "I like to go to hell because all my friends are there. And if I go to heaven, there is nobody there to play mahjong with me." I said, "Dear friend, you don't play mahjong in hell, you know, please understand. Where do you get your theology from? Where do you get the idea that in hell they can do what they like?" So, the modern mind is not for hell. To think of hell and to accommodate the idea that there can be a God of love, and yet he has a place called hell. But I will explain to you, and all of it is out of this book called the Bible, God's Word. And when it is explained to you and you understand, then you say, "Thank God for hell." Because if not, what is heaven? So that is the modern mentality. Modern man has arrived in so many ways. He has split the atom and demonstrated the power of the atom in one bomb, two bombs. So far, two bombs have been used to end the Pacific War. Do you know that? Two bombs. What are they called? Atom bombs. Modern man has also unlocked the secret of the DNA code. Do you know that? Until some 30 years ago or so, nobody knew what was the DNA code. Now they know. If you were to write the DNA code into type, it will fill at least 1,000 copies of Encyclopedia Britannica in small print. Amazing DNA. Modern man has walked on the moon, and the next target is Mars. They say Mars is all right, it's habitable. It will take 2.5 years to get to Mars, 2.5 years to get back. Oh yes, I think we can last the trip of 5 years. We'll have a spacecraft that will fly there and back. So that is modern man. And now modern man has mastered the electron, the little thing. So that any child who holds one of these handheld gadgets practically has the whole world in his hands. You know that. You can get in touch with people around the world and do a thousand myriad things, amazing things. So what is hell? They do not want to believe. Because modern man is so smart, so clever in so many things. And so they reason to themselves, we do not need heaven and hell. But you know one thing that modern man has not succeeded in doing at all. Do you know that? Can I give you a moment to think and guess? Sickness, every now and again we read of discovery. New discovery to cure this and that and the other. Yes, we are happy that there are improvements in science. medical technology to increase and increase lifespan. But modern science has not found the cure to death. Do you know that? What is the average lifespan in Singapore? About 82. And yet man has to die. Why? Life and death are in God's hands. So, before you know it, you've come to the end of your life. A man was checked in. I was told this story at a certain airport in Thailand. So happy, have done his business and is going home to meet the wife and family. Checked in, waiting in the departure lounge, heart attack, and died on the spot. Such things do happen. We never know when is the last time we take a breath. And then what? What is next? Dear friends, these are the things that concern us. You've read the story just now in Luke's Gospel of the rich man and the poor man, the beggar. And how when the rich man... Now that story does not explain the theology. Why the rich man went to hell and the poor man went to heaven? We're not concerned with that. We're just concerned that the rich man arrived in hell. And there he found, wow, what a place it is. Please understand, dear friends, when we talk of hell, it is a place. You die, but your soul lives on and it goes there. You say, I don't want to go there. Please understand also, you came into this world, you and I, including me, of course. We all came into the world without our consent or volition. Yes? Nobody asks for your permission. Whether you want to be born or not, you are just delivered, as it were. I've delivered probably by now in my practice about 10,000 babies, more or less. Did any of the babies get a certificate to say, I am permitted to be born? No. Babies are sent every day in our hospital, 105. Every day, 24 hours, the babies arrive. And more or less the same number will all die in one day, more or less. Where do they go? This is the big question. Some people say, death ends all. Is it so? I explain to you why it cannot be. Just as you were sent into this world, you are taken out. And the same authority that allowed you to be born is the authority that will also send you to the place of eternal abode. Whether heaven or hell, it is not for you to choose. Yes, not for us to choose. We were put here, we are taken out, and all beyond our control. Do you know that? Except when we are here on earth, there is gospel. Jesus came to settle for us the big problem of life and death. Where do we go after death? We Chinese people, we like to say, death ends all. But you know that it is not true that the idol-worshipping people, as I visit their homes, manifests, of course, a deep superstition and belief that this departed soul has gone somewhere. And the living try to provide for that departed soul. You all have seen build up paper or whatever materials they use. Houses, motor cars, televisions, and all the things they imagine that the departed man is going to enjoy. And all these are provided. And one day they'll be burned, and they think these things will evaporate and fly up to whichever heaven they think. And dear friends, please understand, death is not the end. I have a Bible verse, I think it is good for you to turn there and see. In the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 5. In addition to Luke's Gospel, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar, I'm turning your attention to John's Gospel, chapter 5. These are the words of our Lord Jesus. And he came from heaven for one purpose, in order that he may tell us the good news for all dying sinners who have no hope. Here is the story. Jesus the Lord says in John's Gospel, chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. Jesus says to us, to you and to me, to anyone who has a doubt, wondering what will happen, Jesus says, marvel not, John 5:28, that the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Whose voice? The voice of the Son of God. He will call, and the same voice is the voice of authority. The voice of authority that sent us into this world. Who has the same authority to direct our souls after death. So this is what he says. Marvel not. You may not have heard of it. Maybe it's the first time. Maybe it's more than once you've heard. But do not marvel. Because Jesus tells the truth. And nothing but the truth. Nothing less than the truth. What does he say? The time is coming, in the which all that in the graves shall hear his voice. That you say, wow, I thought after death is finished. No, here it is, so clear, so plain. All that in the graves, you say, how come can a dead man hear his voice? Yes, please understand, the body is dead, but the soul lives on. And the soul will hear the voice of the Son of God, and verse 29, and shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Ah, here is the first time we read of the word resurrection. Death does not end it all, please understand. The authority that sent us into the world has authority over every soul. You may be dead, but it doesn't mean that you escape the voice of the Son of God. Here it is. He says, you will come forth. Verse 29, I read again. You who have done good, you will enjoy the resurrection of life. Here is the first mention of resurrection of life. And they that have done evil do a different kind of resurrection. And this is very important. May I just draw your attention once again, that you take full note of this. Not that if when you're resurrected, you're all right. It does not mean that. Why are you resurrected? Why is the soul resurrected with the body? Why? For judgment. God is going to reckon with us. So verse 29 says, they shall come forth, the dead will receive life again, and they that have done good unto a resurrection of life. This is the first kind of resurrection. Are you sure of this resurrection, dear friend? You say, I don't care. I say, you may say you don't care. It's like the criminal who goes to prison and he faces the judge. He says, I don't care. How many of you have been to the Supreme Court? When you arrive at the outside, you stop your car there and open the door, you'll be faced with a fine. Do you know that? I never knew this. You say, I don't care. It is a public road. I will go there and stop my car and get out. And as soon as I did that, a police lady took a photograph and said, oh, look, you face a fine. I said, for what? For stopping outside the Supreme Court. I don't care. Yes, it's coming. Well, in the same way, there is that authority. An authority over every man and woman born. So the first resurrection is called the resurrection of life. And they that have done evil to the second form of resurrection is called the resurrection of damnation. Ah, dear friends, death does not end it all. It is only one chapter. It closes there. And then the second chapter will reopen. Are you ready for the second chapter? So I said, today, living long is not the solution. You see, a specialist doctor, so many of us here have doctors, more or less. Sooner or later, you will have to see a doctor. And they say, doctor, I want to live long. Of course, doctor will do his best. But patients think the doctors can work miracles, but we don't. Please understand. My patients say to me, doctor, you're all right, you're a doctor. I say, doctor, one day will die. We have no power over life and death, except that we try our best to give you the best treatment that we know. Now, all treatments and all in discoveries today of new drugs and new treatments and new cures, etc., have a limitation. Alright, you cure the person of this cancer, he will die from another cancer. Or no cancer, he will die of what? Old age. No matter what you do, death is the conclusion for every man and woman and child. So what is the answer? Turn now to Revelation, and then you find the answer in this book, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 20. As we have read in John's Gospel, there are two resurrections. And dearly beloved, you must have a part in the first resurrection and not the second. Both of them are resurrections, but there is a vast difference. The first resurrection is called the resurrection of life. And we are going to read about it in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Have you found it? Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. All right. It says here, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Do you have confidence that you will be part of the first resurrection? This is all that matters here tonight. You're hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you have received the Savior and accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will have a part in that first resurrection. Verse 6 again. Blessed and holy are you that have a part in the first resurrection, on you the second death has no power. Who says so? The word of God promises you, if you have a part in the first resurrection, you will not be subject to the second death. The second death is another death that comes on you after resurrection, second time. And that death is a deadly death. Read on. If we have a part in the first resurrection, and I pray that we all will have, who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, they shall be priests of God. I'm reading verse 20, the second part of it. You will be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. All right? Please understand. This is not my word. This is not my promise, but this is God's promise to you. If you have the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you will be a part of the first resurrection, and you will reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, verse 7. When the 1,000 years is finished, Satan will be loosed, and then will come the great judgment of God. Verse 11. I saw a great white throne. This is the throne of judgment of God, which you must not have a part in that judgment of. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there was found no place. Now verse 12. I pray that it does not describe anyone present here tonight. Verse 12 says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Who are these people? Who are these small and great that stand before God at the great white throne? They are all who have a part in the second resurrection. Those of us who have the first resurrection reign with Christ 1,000 years and do not stand at this great white throne judgment. Verse 12. I'm reading verse 12 again. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is called the Book of Life. And the dead were judged out of these things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Those who happened to drown in the sea were eaten by sharks and things. They will be resurrected. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Those who face the second resurrection and face the great white throne judgment is the judgment of damnation. Please understand. There is no hope for those people because they are part of the second resurrection. May none of you, none of us here, be part of the second resurrection. You say, I don't want to be part of the second resurrection. What is the way to do it? One way. Jesus says, I am the way. He who believes in me, he will never have to go through the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment and everlasting punishment by God. Verse 15. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire for eternal punishment. Now to the modern mind, so advanced, as they say, there is a hell, but nobody there. There's a hell, but it's not so hot. Never mind. Those people will be cast into this lake of fire. You say, but God is love. Yes. You all know that God is love. Then if God is love, why does He allow people to suffer in hell? Suppose to you, I had a friend who told me, during the Japanese invasion, my whole family and clans, 28 souls were massacred. Now, according to this theory of God is love, all will go to heaven, you wake up in heaven and there are the 28 plus the Japanese who massacred them all together. Is that called heaven? The murderers who murdered those 28 together with the 28, what kind of a heaven is it? You can multiply it 1,000,000 times, 1,000 times. About 3 or 4 months ago, I think it was, there was a murderer in Norway who planned to murder people and kill about 80 people publicly. Now, he's pleading insanity. All right, according to this theory, God is love. He will wake up in heaven one day, and with 80 who he murdered, where is justice and where is the holiness of God? Do you follow? And so you can multiply that 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. God is love, but God is holy. God is also just and God is fair. And when these people have never repented and committed grievous crimes, His judgment sends them to the place of punishment. Modern man needs the gospel just as much as old timers. People who lived long ago, who did not have all these privileges of today's advanced science. And they say, we are scientific. We do not need God. We do not need gospel. Yes. Makes no difference whether old-fashioned or new-fashioned, whether educated or uneducated. God is love. God is fair. God gives us the gospel, and eternal hell is reserved for those who reject the gospel, who never repented of their sins. May God help us to understand the two resurrections, the two judgments. Never have a part in the second judgment, second resurrection, and the great white throne judgment. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, may Thy Spirit lead us to the truth and keep us in the truth, that we may understand that God is a God of love, but also a God of holiness, fairness, and justice, and He has prepared a place of eternal punishment called hell. And His word says the fire is not quenched, and it burns and burns. But Thou hast given us the alternative escape, that we who trust in the Lord are saved unto eternal life and the presence of God. in heaven. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.